What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, fully vaccinated and dodging the Delta like Neo in the Matrix.
Oh my God.
We've got another big show for you today as we continue our cavalcade of fantasy stars throughout the offseason. Although the offseason is getting short, the regular season is approaching very quickly. But three guys with us today. If you've been playing fantasy football at all for any length of time, you know these guys. They have done an excellent job. They have built something just amazing. It's great to have them. I love watching them do their thing and interacting with them on social media. Individually, they are Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright, but you know them as the fantasy footballers. Fellas, appreciate you being here. I hear that it is humid in the desert, which is making my brain itch. How does that work?
Number one, thank you for having us on. Always fun to jump on with our good friend Marcus here. But it's monsoon season, which is
called the rain pump fake.
Yeah,
how it gets humid.
Not everyone realizes in the desert it does rain, and it picks the hottest time of the year to actually do that. So the other day we were at 100 plus degrees, 50 plus percent humidity. Whoa. Arizona doing its best impression of Florida, and it's just miserable.
Oh, not a great time
when you go outside and it's doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah, I know. I have friends who live, you know, out that way, and I know I've heard about the rainstorms, like the massive, massive rainstorms.
And so the haboobs.
Haboob. Let's say, what's worse, the haboob or the rainstorms?
we have some people new to the valley here that work for us, and they experienced their first haboob the other day, and I think it was pretty jarring for them.
Which is a giant dust storm for people.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about,
it's a really funny word.
Try to remember the mummy.
Yes, yes.
Where the wall of sand magically appears. That's a real thing here in the desert.
I know. It is a dust storm, but I feel like it's much more fun to say the word haboob.
Yeah. And that was it. That's new to be fair.
Yeah, only the last few years have we been called. It's been a dust storm out here for a while. Yeah, and now it's a haboob.
We grew up. We're actually native to Arizona. And this was, the last 10 years. I didn't know what it was, but now everyone calls it a haboob. It was just a dust storm before.
It's just good work by their PR team.
You know, absolutely. So shout out to the haboob folks.
Yeah, big
haboob. Big haboob.
Big shout out to the haboob folks for making this happen. As I've had guests on, especially the last few weeks, I've sort of been asking people about their journeys within the fantasy industry and that sort of thing. And so you guys, like a lot of people who have broken into this, kind of started off as hobbyists. I know you were doing the podcast just sort of, you know, for a group of friends, and it has turned into what it has turned into. I mean, Andy, for you, when did you realize this was going to be more than just a hobby?
I think it was when we were refreshing download numbers in the middle of our real estate class, because Jason and I went to school. We had worked together for years at a game design studio that he ran and owned, and we decided, hey, let's get into real estate. We'll do this podcast thing. Who knows? Maybe we'll make a few bucks on the side. And we're sitting there in the middle of class. We should have been paying attention to some Arizona State real estate law thing or something. And we're just refreshing numbers going like, what is happening? People are listening to this show. And then at that point, we're like, well, we've got to give it everything we got. We got to give it full time, 100%, convinced all of the wives to be gracious to us and give us that time. And so we jumped in full bore and have ridden the wave for the last 6 years.
I was going to say, Jason, what was it like convincing the family? Hey, you know what? We're going to stop all this other stuff. We're just going to talk about fantasy football for a living.
You know, we are really blessed to have great wives. There was no convincing necessary. I could speak for myself. She has always been a great believer in me. And so it was just like, let's go. Let's do it. No convincing. And so I would recommend if you're out there and you're like, I want to start this, how do I would get a wife like mine. I think that's really important. Get a great wife who will support
but not
you.
Not yours.
Not mine. No, seat's taken. I would go ahead and find a great wife to help you along the road.
You just called your wife a seat.
it's a classic Forrest Gump line.
Oh, man. I mean, Mike, for you, I mean, what has been the most eye-opening part of this? Let me just go from, again, a hobbyist to where you guys are now. What kind of shook you up and surprised you the most?
That people care what we have to say. it's always weird that you know people are listening, right? You see download metrics, and you can follow that. You could see your podcast moving around in the charts, and like that's really exciting. But it's still us. I mean, when we started, it was just the three of us. Now we are we got a great team that we've expanded upon. But even with the two producers back there, it's just the five of us. That's who hears the podcast, to me. And then you actually, you find out, people tweet you something that I forgot I said, and just a throwaway line. You're like, oh, yeah, I guess there's like actual humans out there who are consuming the content, and it's not just us idiots shouting at each other in a warehouse.
I would say if there was like a second point where the realization hit, it would have been like when we did our first live show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because even though you know you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people listening, somehow being in a room with like 300 fanatical fantasy football fans for our first live show, like these guys both teared up.
If you go back and watch that first Minnesota live show, that the intro music's going, the crowd is screaming, and they don't stop for too long, and I am like, keep it together here. I'm just like, it took me a good 30 seconds to just make sure I wasn't crying to start that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is kind of the amazing part, is I think putting the real life faces to the numbers of that. Yeah, I think that is, I know that you kind of on our end too, just, you know, you sort of meet the people out there, it does kind of put a whole new spin to the whole thing.
And they build, you know, with podcasting specifically, a lot of routines are built around when people listen too. So you start to learn that you've been like in the car with people. I'm sure you guys have heard this where, you know, they've listened to you every day on their commute for 2 years. So they know you very, very well. And then all of a sudden you meet them in person and they know all these things about you, and you have a relationship you didn't know, almost a one-on-one relationship you didn't know you had.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of cool. It's a little bit, I would say that it's sort of disarming, but it's very cool. You guys have probably experienced this too, right? I always go back to the first time, you talk about learning people are listening. The first time we ever did a listener league, and drafting with people who listened to the show and who know all your takes and who know the players you like, and watching our heads spin as guys that we thought we could wait a round or two on, that we thought were sleepers, were getting snatched up because we're drafting with people who know everything we think. That was that was still a shocker for me.
People do that in our listener leagues, like, because we have a huge chat going. People intentionally do that. It's not like, and it's not, someone's name popped off the list. It's
gotcha.
I see Mike's up in 10 picks. Enjoy this. Antonio Gibson in the fourth round.
Oh man. Yeah. It's hilarious. It's frustrating from a competitive standpoint, but it is very cool to know that people are actually sort of taking your words to heart a little bit. I mean, speaking of which though, I mean, Andy, for people who are trying to maybe build something from the ground up, because I feel like we've seen a lot of it, especially in the last year with the pandemic, a lot of people really kind of turning their attention to this. What sort of advice could you give people who are, you know, just kind of starting this out and looking to build something big?
Yeah, it's a great question, and we've gotten that a lot over the years. And I go back to a kind of singular answer that I think is crucial, which is just having, like, being yourself and having your own voice and not trying to mimic or impersonate somebody else that you see in the industry. Everyone has kind of, role models or people that, you know, like Dan Patrick would be one for me, where it's like you see what he did and the way he does it, and you admire that. But we didn't start this podcast saying, hey, I'm going to be Dan Patrick or Matthew Berry or anybody that already was in the space. I think if you're true to yourself, then people connect to the authentic part of you. And that's the connection building. Like, you can't connect with somebody that's being inauthentic. So that's kind of the biggest advice I give to anybody, is that if you're true to who you are, personality wise, whatever kind of niche might be your specialty in the space, that's your best odds, because it's competitive, right? There's a lot of people that want to do what we do and break into the space, but I think that's the only way you can succeed.
No, I would completely agree. And I think that's sort of the baseline. I know when I've asked other people, that tends to be the response. And I think that is probably the truest way to do it, especially, as you mentioned, in a space that has become hyper-competitive, especially in the last 5 years, especially the last year or so. So
definitely.
All right. So, we, you know, let's talk some football, some fantasy football, because that's what the people came for. Start with the news that came down just a few hours before we started recording this podcast. Cam Akers from the Los Angeles Rams suffered a torn Achilles while he was training. He is going to miss the season. This is one of my least favorite parts of this job, is sort of having to, you know, talk about kind of what comes next after a guy suffers a major injury. Alas, it is part of the job. It's what we do. I mean, Jason, as you sit here and you look at this now, what do the Rams do next? I mean, do they just turn to Daryl Henderson full time? Do you think they make a move? What happens in that LA backfield?
I know that Adam Schefter recently said they're not looking at the veteran marketplace, and I don't fully believe that. They have a lot of bodies there, but I don't think they have good enough bodies. Daryl Henderson does become the next man up. He had that opportunity for a couple games last year, and he was a low-end RB1 during that stretch. He's going to be the guy. I think they bring someone else in. Maybe it's via the trade market, not the free agent veteran market, but otherwise, Xavier Jones is a name that's being popped up right now in a lot of dynasty leagues, of an undrafted rookie from last year that Aaron Donald liked. But I believe it's the Daryl Henderson show, and he's going to be, you know, to me, a top 20 running back. I had Cam Akers as my running back 6. I was extremely in on Cam Akers. So I was devastated this morning to hear the news, especially because of this specific injury. Achilles, very difficult to come back from. This could be a career ender for him, not just a delay in the breakout. So for now, I think it's Daryl Henderson, and I think he'll succeed for the most part with that job. But the only other thing I'd add to that is the way that I statted the teams out when I looked at making my changes. I think this is an uptick slightly for Matthew Stafford and for the receiving game for Tyler Higbee. I think they're going to throw the ball a little bit more, because I expect Sean McVay to go to where their strengths are in personnel, and they're weaker now at running back, and that'll force their hand to throw the ball a little bit more.
I know people like to speculate, because it's, you know, it's what social media does. I mean, Mike, I've seen you know, a Todd Gurley reunion speculated about, a Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell. I mean, any of those names do anything for you if they come back to come to Los Angeles?
What about Frank Gore?
Frank Gore is out there.
I mean, we need Frank Gore, because Frank Gore has to stay in the NFL long enough for his son to be in the NFL. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, we're all for that. And any of those names listed, yes, they do excite me for Daryl Henderson to really have to have the lock in. That's basically the watch that we are on right now. I'm with Jason. I don't believe you aren't looking at the market right now. When your backups are undrafted players and seventh round players, you need to make sure you have someone behind Henderson, as he has struggled to stay on the field himself. You need to have some depth at the position. So we're on the watch. What level of backup comes in? If it's one of those names you were talking about, then that's no problem. But the Rams and McVay, they're crazy people over there, man. They will throw their draft capital at anything. So
Get James Robinson.
So James Robinson, Kareem Hunt. I mean, like, there are names out there that would not surprise you in the least if they end up on the Rams. And if they do, that creates a messy situation. That's not what I'm going to project. I think one of the guys on the street will end up backing up Daryl Henderson, and he's going to be very exciting. He will skyrocket to probably the third round in fantasy drafts.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you that, Andy. I mean, obviously, we're not drafting Daryl Henderson the way we were drafting Cam Akers, but third round, I mean, does that feel right to you?
Yeah, I think it'll depend a little bit on what training camp looks like in his health and what people are seeing at the rest of the depth chart in Los Angeles. So my initial first pass at going through these numbers and projecting this out, he's in the, you know, back end RB2 range for me. I'm not overly ambitious yet. I mean, I think that the drumbeat's going to get louder and louder into the season. Just with the excitement on this offense and with what people expected from Cam Akers. And like Jason said, Henderson's had some success. He just needs to stay healthy.
Yeah, that's going to be the big key there. So interesting to watch. You know, best wishes to Cam Akers for a speedy and hopefully full recovery. So look forward to seeing it, because what he did at the end of last year was a lot of fun to watch. So definitely, you know, best wishes to him in trying to get better. Speaking of getting healthy, Saquon Barkley is still working, and Mike, he has not been very clear about when he's going to be able to practice back on the field. How worried should we be about Saquon's situation?
I think you should be at least hesitant. There's a lot of, you know, speaking of like a position that has popped up recently, injury docs on Twitter. and there's some rough things, but there is actually really good advice out there. We have our own guy, his name's Matthew Betts. He's at the Fantasy PT. So shout out to him, doing incredible work with us for the show and inside of our Ultimate Draft Kit. But he talked about Saquon and that there should be at least a little bit of hesitancy when you have, especially you have a player, like the player, the one who is supposed to be the most optimistic about his return. Don't, no doubt, I'll be back week one. I'm going to dominate. This guy's like, I don't know what's going on right now. And on top of that, the work will be there. But I mean, with the Giants offense, with that offensive line, with the small sample, at least that we've seen of Daniel Jones not targeting him the way that we got used to Eli Manning throwing checkdowns to Saquon Barkley, should he just automatically be locked into a top five draft pick this year? And I lean that he should not.
I mean, I was very much about having him as a top two or three guy. This has sort of changed my mind about it. I mean, but Jason, if he's not there, if he's not ready to go, is this better news for Daniel Jones and his cadre of pass catchers? Is there somebody else in that backfield that, you know, is worth taking a shot at right now?
No, there's definitely no one else in the backfield worth taking a shot at. And this is bad news for the Giants. I think he will be ready for week one, but he's not going to be at 100% Saquon. The timeline that we already knew about, because this was ACL, this was MCL and meniscus, he had to wait until October 30th to get the surgery, even though the injury was early last year. So the timeline we already knew was going to be
tight.
It was going to be tight. We already knew that. So this is kind of like, it's new information because it's fresh, but we just have to remind ourselves, we expected him to be there week one, but not very soon before that. And it will probably be halfway through the season before he's at peak Saquon strength. So he's more of a trade target versus someone that I'm spending that third pick overall. You know, and in the meantime, while he's gone, I just don't think that helps anyone fantasy-wise. Kenny Golladay is going to have fewer touchdown opportunities if the ball's not moving well. Daniel Jones will have less of the Drew Brees padded stats of just checking it down to a phenomenal running back. So, no, it's just bad news if he's not out there, but I do think he'll be out there week one.
The positive for me is that I have terrible draft position luck, so I'm never really in position to get Saquon. So that issue has generally been taken out of my hands. I haven't had to worry about that so much. More running back stuff. I guess so. Saquon the other day, I don't know if you saw, he announced his re-entry, I guess, into the quad squad. But yes. AJ Dillon, you know, he announced himself with authority last year and sort of re-upped this year. I don't know if the Packers saw that, but they have said they want to lean on A.J. Dillon more. Maybe they are just impressed that he doesn't skip leg day, Andy. But my question is, why don't they want Aaron Jones to be great?
Well, I think we've seen – I think they want Aaron Jones to be great, but it's the same way that the Saints want Alvin Kamara to be great. Mm-hmm. You've always needed another back, and we just don't get very many of the Christian McCaffrey every snap situations in the NFL anymore. And Aaron Jones is so hyper efficient and effective in what he does that, you know, we if you're an Aaron Jones fan, you want him to get every snap and get the ball on every play. And that's just not the NFL. And Dillon is a a viable bruiser that will give Aaron Jones the ability to, you know, we might be happy, right? Like, you can never prove what you don't get to see, but the efficiency would go down if Aaron Jones was out there on every single play all the time. And, you know, it's the Latavius Murray to the Alvin Kamara to me.
And it hasn't hurt Aaron Jones thus far. Like, Jamal Williams was still involved.
Very involved.
Where you have the trade-off of, if at least what you would think and project, not that A.J. Dillon is really a slouch when it comes to catching the ball. He's actually better than people realize, especially for a man of his stature. But if you're going to swing some of the work, you're going to swing more of the receptions to Aaron Jones. I mean, you saw Jamal out there frequently on like the 2-minute drill or on passing downs and taking over that. If more of that goes to Aaron Jones, for fantasy, that's a boost. Go ahead. Take away 3 or 4 carries from Aaron Jones per week. You're going to give him 2 more targets? I'm not changing anything about how I feel about Aaron Jones after this latest A.J. Dillon stuff.
Far more concerned about the status of Aaron Rodgers than the status of A.J. Dillon. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the big one. And I think, Andy, you made an interesting point, too, about the efficiency potentially going down. It is... I guess what I call the Lamar Miller conundrum. That all those years we begged, and I was certainly among them, the people who begged for Lamar Miller to get more work and to be the work, you know, and he gets.
And you can't just put those stats out there with the big workload. Yeah.
You know, exactly. He gets somewhere else and he gets that work and he's still just oatmeal, right? Like, he's just fine. You know, and I'm like, all right, well, okay. So maybe I was wrong on that one. So maybe I should be careful what I wish for Aaron Jones.
That's just hard. Yeah.
Don't leave, you know, just leave well enough alone. Everything's fine. Maybe we shouldn't we shouldn't push too hard on that one. I had some questions. I've been going through and going by position and kind of asking my guests about some question marks I have at certain positions. You guys draw the short straw and you get tight ends because, you know, sorry.
Perfect.
Sorry.
We'd go with Kelce. Travis Kelce is our recommendation.
So where do you fall on the Kelce versus Kelce? Because that blew my mind.
His mom already shut it down.
Yeah, he was trolling. He was just trolling everybody.
Good.
I was not willing to make a change. I was going to stick with the lifetime Kelce.
Right. We have been here for a while now. It's too late to go back at this point.
That's right. Statute of limitations.
All right. So let's start, though, Mike. Let's start with Kyle Pitts. You know, it's almost like if you looked at his birth certificate, his middle name on there says unicorn, because that's how everybody refers to him.
Yes.
I have seen he has already bumped up to the tight end 4 after your big 3 there. Are you comfortable with that? Or are we overdrafting him?
I'm okay with it. I do not have him at 4. I would take Mark Andrews.
I do have
you
him,
do
at
him
four.
At 4?
I do. Okay.
So I would still take Mark Andrews. The difficult 2 guys for me would be the potential breakout for TJ Hockenson, which Jason is all aboard that. I'm still hesitant. And Dallas Goedert, who I think is about to have just an absolute smash season. So do you take a unknown player that when you see them on the field and you know that when they have opportunity, they will be great? Or do you just project moving forward that this absolute monster of a man with athletic profiling that we just – you don't see, like, he's Vernon Davis. Like, we're back, baby. And
his metrics are illegal. He could be arrested right now.
Like, when you go and you look, watching the athletic measurables, not safe for work.
No.
When it comes to Kyle Pitts.
No.
And not only that, where you get excited for some first round tight ends, the situation couldn't possibly be better for Kyle Pitts. He goes to, the yardage king, Matt Ryan. They just lost their superstar number 1 wide receiver, but they have another one in waiting in the wings. So it's not just Kyle Pitts. You have Calvin Ridley, who's going to be fantastic. And you can't just the defense can't just settle and cover Kyle Pitts. So when it comes to 4, just to get back to the question, perfectly fine with it, because tight end is all about drafting upside. Kyle Pitts can finish as a top 3 tight end for fantasy football. But what is it's and so it comes down to the opportunity cost. Where is he going in ADP?
I'll just chime in real quick because I disagree completely with. I don't disagree with most of what's been said. The situation is perfect. His athletic measurables are outstanding, and he will be a talented player. I think we are way overdrafting him right now because what we're doing is we're just saying we hope that somehow rookie season he ends up becoming a George Kittle or a Travis Kelce or some really difference making tight end. That's not happening his rookie year. I would be blown away if that happens. If he has the best rookie wide receiver season since 2000, he would basically be last year's Logan Thomas, which is not what you're wanting in the fifth round. He basically has to have the best tight end rookie season of all time just to meet where he's being drafted. The players I'm taking over Kyle Pitts aren't tight ends because of where he's going in a draft. I'm taking Deontay Johnson and Tyler Lockett and Cooper Kupp and known commodities at wide receiver versus the hope that he does something that has never been done before. And if you've got to make, you know, probability shots of who could do it, well, sure, he's very talented. But I think people are drinking too much Kool-Aid, flavored Kool-Aid.
Just to complete the trifecta here, this is where yesterday on the show, I've made complete peace with saying I believe Kyle Pitts will have the greatest rookie season of a tight end ever. Like, Jason's not wrong metric-wise, but but I'm moving beyond that and saying I think Kyle Pitts will have the best rookie season ever. He's the highest drafted tight end ever. He's going to all the arguments that Mike made, including a long history of Matt Ryan turning tight ends into gold, whether it was his time with Tony Gonzalez.
We were excited for Hayden Hurst last year.
So I'm formally saying that, yes, I'd be drafting him in the fifth round to be a league-winning player for my team. Now, if you do not believe that probability is sufficient, then do exactly what Jason says. It is you have to make that decision on him. A league-winning tight end in the fifth round is worth more than Deontay Johnson, period.
Yeah. Agreed.
But if he doesn't do it, then you're more vulnerable to, you know, obviously having a weakness on your roster. So, I don't have him above Kittle. I don't have him above Waller or Kelce, but I have him at four.
I haven't taken shots because I have been of the persuasion that I'm going to take that early shot on Kelce or Waller or Kittle and just sort of take the headache away from myself. But if I'm following your logic, Andy, here, because it's like one of those motivational posters, right? Like if you shoot for the moon and you come up short, you reach the stars, you're still fine, right? I mean, is that sort of kind of how you're looking at that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you do have a pretty high rookie floor for Kyle Pitts. So I don't think you're going to, like, he's going to be your starting tight end in the fifth round, no matter what. Like, you're not going to be pivoting away from him. You do have the whatever percentage chance, 2%, 50% of being a difference making tight end. But I think you have solved the tight end position in the fifth round.
All right, that's fair. I mean, like I said, I think he's going to be great. I had a feeling he was going to, you know, shoot up in ADP, and especially once Julio left, it just seemed sort of inevitable.
No doubt.
I'm curious to see how high it gets. If he even goes knocking on the door of number three, because I wouldn't be surprised.
That would be a problem for me at that point, I think.
I think so too, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody out there does that because you know, it's just bound to happen.
It's going to be a fun narrative throughout the year for our show in particular because, you know, maybe the historical stats are on Jason's side here, but if I am somehow right, I will be ending you.
Jason
on
will
the show.
Never hear the end of it ever.
So it'll be fun.
All right, well, Jason, I'm going to let you sort of stand your ground here on TJ Hawkinson because I have wavered on him. I was really excited about him early. I have sort of, been a little more hesitant recently. So explain to me why I should be, you know, all in on TJ Hawkinson.
Well, so I think TJ Hawkinson, I've got him as my tight end four. There needs context there. Here's why he's my tight end four, and here's why I think he's going to be good. He is easily the best pass catcher there. Tyrell Williams, Breshad Perriman, they are not anything special. This is a team that needs a guy to come in and have a large target market share. And if you look back at, you know, basically every single year in the best tight ends, they are one of, you know, usually two targets. You got Kelce and you got, you know, Tyreek. You've got Mark Andrews, who even in a small pie was great because he had so much of it. There weren't other options. Jared Goff, we know, has had success throwing to tight end. He's not great, but he's not a you know, he's not, you know, Sam Darnold going to the Carolina Panthers, and we're like, man, I don't even know if he can throw a 3% touchdown rate. So the opportunity is there. The talent, he was, you know, he was drafted high for a reason in the NFL draft, and he's shown well. He's outside of a couple of drops, he's had a good career for the first few years of a tight end. So that's why I think he's the tight end four this year. But that doesn't mean that I'm drafting him. Like, I don't see him as a true difference maker the way that those elites, those top three are. And the way that I approach fantasy is I'm usually grabbing one of those top three or punting and going super late with a Tyler Higbee because of the opportunity cost. I think the tight end four is not worth a second wide receiver on my team.
So, like, genuinely, I want to ask him a question, if you don't mind. I'm just
we're taking over, Mark.
Sure. Taking over, Mark.
Please, no, go for it.
I'm the captain now.
Just because I know that our most current ADP, Hockenson and Pitts are going directly back to back in the fifth round. So if you are forced, because I know what you're saying.
Yes.
If you're forced to take a tight end there, are you taking Hockenson for your team, or are you taking Pitts because of the do you view him as having a higher ceiling?
I do not rookie year. Okay. In general, for career, definitely. If this is a dynasty league, it's not even close. But I would take Hockenson over Pitts if I had to take one in that. Where are they right now? The fifth round.
All right. Back to you, Marcus.
All right, cool. Thanks. But you know what? So that brings up actually another question that I just sort of had. I've put this out to you guys in general. In a dynasty league, in a dynasty startup, is it nuts to take Kyle Pitts as the number one overall pick?
Startup?
I think that's... Like,
okay, let's say a dynasty rookie draft. Maybe not a startup, but a rookie draft.
Okay, rookie.
All right, say rookie draft.
I don't think it's nuts if you view, like, there's been a lot of variability in those top few picks in terms of success rate. I mean, we saw N'Keal Harry going off the board number one. You have Corey Davis's recent history. So I don't think it's nuts, because I think if you look at the landscape of rookies, longevity, and say, who do I believe is going to have a successful NFL career, I think it'd be hard to not say that Kyle Pitts is at the top of that list.
As the resident sane person on Kyle Pitts here, I would also agree with that. I would say that it's not insane to, you know, and I've changed on that as time has gone on from the NFL draft. He has every bit a chance to be a more successful NFL player over the next 5 years as Najee Harris, as Jamar Chase. So I think he is in the mix, and it's not crazy if you wanted to make him the best rookie this year.
All right. Cool. I'm just taking a poll, an unofficial poll on that one. Irv Smith, the hashtag Let Irv Swerve started to circulate at the end of last year.
Who's circulating that?
Well, you never saw the Let Irv Swerve hashtag? Oh yeah, man.
It's, just because it rhymes don't mean it's not good.
Jason said he would, you know, he prefers to wait. If he doesn't get one of the big guys early, he will wait until later. I think Irv Smith sort of fits in that. I mean, Mike, do you think that, you know, now with Kyle Rudolph elsewhere, that this is the chance for Irv Smith to be a thing in fantasy?
I mean, he certainly has a chance. I had to watch championship week as multiple times the Minnesota Vikings were lined up on the goal line, and I needed my sweet, sweet Prince Dalvin Cook to get a real easy touchdown, only to see it turn into a play-action fake and freaking Irv Smith catching every single touchdown they scored that week. He has the chance, but he's not the late round. He's not the type of late round target or tight end that I target, mm-hmm. because he can't rise to be the number two option in the passing game with the emergence of Justin Jefferson. Adam Thielen still there, who I'm nervous personally about Adam Thielen being a losing a step, but he's still going to be the number two option in the passing game. And then Dalvin Cook working himself in there. Irv is going to top out at like four, maybe five. If you got five targets a game for Irv Smith this year, I think you should be really, really happy. But I don't think that turns into difference-making production. He's absolutely in play week to week on a streaming basis if you see a great matchup for him. But he's not the late-round tight end that I'm going to target.
All right. That's fair. I don't think I've gotten – my issue with the Vikings passing game is generally that it is – it's tend to be focused through two guys. As long as Kirk Cousins has been there. I mean, at first it was Thielen and Stephon Diggs. Now it's Thielen and Justin Jefferson. And that just doesn't leave, I think, a lot of room for anybody else. But I sense the excitement. Maybe it's because we're always just trying to, you know, we're thirsty for tight ends late in
draft. I didn't know swerving was like a good thing.
Right.
Like that's a
you swerve to dodge something.
I mean, you dodge trouble, right? Like you're swerving out of trouble.
So dodging the football in the end zone is gonna be a problem.
Not able to drive a straight line. This is a bad problem.
He can outrun go routes. He can outrun a go.
And it was on top of that, like looking at last year, Kirk Cousins had himself an outlier year, at least for his Minnesota Vikings stats of putting up 35 passing touchdowns. He was throwing a touchdown on 6.8% of his attempts, where like before that it was 30 touchdowns, 26. So it was, even with that, it wasn't turning into tight end production that team.
I think it's like when Kyle Rudolph had a couple of relevant years finishing inside the top 10, it was, you know, 7 or 8, and it was on 7 or 8 touchdowns. Yeah. It was not high volume. So, be interesting to see what happens.
Let him swerve.
Let Irv swerve. I guarantee you're going to see it at some point this year. Andy, last one here. Does Zach Ertz have to leave Philly in order to stay relevant in fantasy?
Zach Ertz needs the DeLorean to stay relevant in fantasy. He needs a time machine. I don't think at this point he's going someplace to be a focal point in the offense. I think that ship has sailed, and that's what you would need, I think, to have any excitement. So can he go help? He might go and help an NFL team genuinely more than he helps a fantasy team, where he can go and be a possession, late career Jason Witten, but give you late career Jason Witten fantasy numbers.
Hey, a couple years ago, Jason Witten was like the tight end, 10 or 11? And all he did was catch the ball and fall down.
That seems exactly the model that he will be imitating. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, who knows? Maybe there's a reunion, a Carson Wentz, Frank Reich, Zach Ertz
that
reunion
happen.
In Indianapolis. That could happen,
that
right?
That could happen, yeah.
I boo that, though, because I need Mo Alie-Cox to be awesome.
for what reason?
Because I love Mo.
There you
because
go.
He's I love Mo Alie-Cox. Our journey with Mo Alie-Cox began a couple years ago. I had no idea who he was, but we're watching all the games, and it was, who is this man, and how is he 3 feet bigger than everybody else on the football field? And then you follow his career, and watching him catch the ball, it's like the size of a pea.
It's an itty-bitty Nerf ball. It's a keychain football.
Like, it has become lore now in this studio, too. He has gotten bigger by the day in our minds.
7'8", 382 pounds.
We refer to him as Gigantor. And if we're coming up with just fun rhymes, like, let Cox rocks?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I mean, we'll workshop it.
It's PR issues, but
you know what? Connect with the people who came up with Haboob, and they'll work out
that's
something.
That's right. Okay, all right. It was the same people.
You know they'd greenlight it.
All right. As always, I like to finish off the show with just some fun, random kind of rapid-fire questions. We'll go around the horn here. With the Olympics starting very, very soon, which Olympic event would you guys choose to compete in?
Oh, man.
I feel like it would be curling because...
Oh, man, we would dominate.
You've got to choose a summer Olympic sport here.
They don't curl in the summer.
They don't curl in the summer. I mean, come on.
It's kind of rough to curl in the summer. Man,
is there foosball? Is that a summer? I don't think
foosball. I'm going to go swimming. I'm long and lanky. That's got to be the one I go for.
If you, actually worked out, you could maybe have a swimmer's body.
Thank you.
no takers for like team handball or something like that. I don't know.
Wait, that's a thing?
Yeah, man.
I need to read up on the
sumo
Olympics.
Sumo wrestling a summer sport?
Oh, I think that's winter. Bro. There's a lot of blubber to keep us warm.
Oh, okay. You guys also do your Spitballers podcast. I know you do a lot of your comedy and pop culture stuff. If you guys have a favorite guilty pleasure movie, what would it be?
Ooh.
I feel like it's all musicals for me. Like, even if it's a childlike musical, I'd be like down to watch that.
It's funny that you say that because my answer is similar in that it's a genre. It's horrible end of the world movies. You know,
oh, yeah, I'm in on that.
I don't care if they're good. Just blow up some landmarks and have something come from outer space. And the acting can be poor. The plot holes, no problem.
You are why those get made.
Oh, yeah.
I've been wondering for years.
I'm in on that. Mine would be, Look, he keeps making movies. I don't know that he's had a... Well, I guess Uncut Gems, people really like that, but... guilty as charged. I watch all the Adam Sandler movies.
No matter what.
They're dumb. You don't laugh out loud, but you get a lot of...
But like just, you know, one, but Adam Sandler I like movies, them. They also have lines that you can sort of throw in into everyday conversation. They might not always be appropriate, but you can kind of throw them in. The other thing is, I felt like Uncut Gems was the movie that... What would have happened to any other Adam Sandler character if they had to face real life consequences? Right?
If it got serious, yeah.
Right. Like Happy Gilmore and Billy Madden never had to face actual real life consequences. But, like Uncut Gems, it would have been probably what would have happened to one of those.
What, a fight with Bob Barker is not realistic?
Price is wrong. Last one. Which one of you is the most likely to star in his own reality TV show?
The one who already thinks he's part of one.
Yeah.
I can Kevin James this thing. I can.
Marcus, legit, Jason has, and he'll make a joke about it, but there is a small percentage of Jason that really believes that he has his own Truman Show thing going on right now.
You guys all know. You guys are all
in on it.
Come on.
All these cameras.
Oh, man.
Make me feel bad about the truth.
I mean, well, in that case, now that we're done, good afternoon. If I don't see you later, good night.
I like it.
Thanks. Fellas, I appreciate you guys coming on. It's been a fun conversation. I know most people listening to this show probably know where to find you, but just for the uninitiated out there, how can they tune in to what you guys do?
Well, you can check us out on the web, get connected to everything we're doing. TheFantasyFootballers.com. So the draft kit and the podcast. And
five times a week is on its way.
Oh, boy.
Woo. 2 weeks.
As sad as the Cam Akers news was today, it almost feels like that is it's almost a benchmark of the offseason. Mm-hmm. A very sad one, but it's like, oh, football's coming because your first major injury rocks the entire world. And we'll be here momentarily, five shows a week, August through December. Take a deep breath, guys.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is one of those unfortunate mile markers as we get a little bit closer. And I think, the other unfortunate part is that it probably won't be the last one.
Yeah, no doubt.
So too bad about that. But appreciate you guys coming on. It was fun. I look forward to kind of keeping up with you guys and seeing what you're doing. And I'm sure we will connect at some point, even if via social media during the rest of the season. Man, take care, guys.
Awesome. Always appreciate it.
Cool. As for us, that is it. We are done. We appreciate you hanging out with the NFL Fantasy Football Show. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, if you jog backwards, you run the risk of gaining weight. Be safe, take care of yourselves, get vaccinated, and we'll see you next week.